This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A politician suggests that turmoil in Britain might be Europe's gain. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Members of the EU meeting in Brussels today are telling Britain they will not begin negotiating any exit strategy until the UK formally applies to leave the Union. That may not happen until current Prime Minister David Cameron leaves office, possibly in the fall. Cameron has now left the Brussels meetings. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has been following developments from London. Let's bring him in. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, David.
So some commentators there saw this EU meeting as something of a Last Supper for Mr. Cameron. What sort of reception did he get in Brussels?
Well, pretty frosty. The atmosphere actually was described as very sad and full of regret. But in his parting remarks to the press, Prime Minister Cameron warned his own country that in the negotiations over Brexit, the UK's not going to get full and unfettered access to that single EU market of 500 million consumers, as well as restrictions on the automatic right of any EU citizen to settle in the UK.
It is impossible to have all of the benefits of membership without some of the costs of membership. That's something the next British government is going to have to think through very carefully.
Since many, perhaps most of the Brits who voted for Brexit were voting for a curb on mass EU migration, that trade-off between single market access and free movement is going to be a very tricky issue.
And what about the other 27 meeting in Brussels here? Any sense they're in the mood for compromise?
Not at all. They are very keen not to encourage Eurosceptics in their own countries. Mark Rutte, the Dutch Prime Minister, one of the UK's closest allies, told the BBC that Britain was collapsing as a result of the Brexit vote, and that should serve as a warning to the citizens of the other member states.
Parts of the UK want to break away. The main political parties are in disarray. The pound is at the level it was in 1981. So everybody thinking it's a good idea to leave the single market, this is what happens.
There's no doubt the UK is facing a rough ride, however. Three major UK corporations, a cell phone operator, a low-cost airline, and a credit card company have reportedly said they may move their headquarters out of Britain and into the EU if the UK doesn't secure access to the single market. So life after Brexit is not going to be a cakewalk.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
And at the base of this Niagara Falls of uncertainty, the stock market is up in early trading, second day in a row. Dow Jones Industrial Average is up about 0.75% in the first half hour, similar percentage rise for the S&P. So let's get a better handle on this market psychology. Susan Schmidt is Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at the Westwood Group in Dallas. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
So no clarity here about the future of Europe, America's biggest trade partner. Why would anybody buy a stock today?
Well, it's actually not that bad. And I think right now there's a relief going on in the market and fears are abating because we didn't see the sharp reaction that we saw last August or January, February, when there were a lot of international concerns. And even with all the noise going on in the EU, U.S. companies still have customers, still have a global presence, and still have a lot of business. So there's still positives out there. It can be a good thing.
All right. Well, about the U.S. economy, we'll know a whole lot more in about a week and a half when we get the June unemployment figure. But let's talk about interest rates here. Bloomberg News crunched some numbers from the derivatives markets, suggesting that many professionals are now saying there's no interest rate hike in the U.S. till maybe 2018. That's like Stardate 5161.6.
I know. It seems incredibly far out there. And particularly when within the last 12 months, we were thinking that we would be doing interest rates increasing and we'd be seeing that regularly throughout this year. And certainly that hasn't been the case. I think what some of the market data is implying is that there's probably going to be a little bit of a slowdown in European GDP because people are going to be nervous. They want to know how this works out. And there's a lot of timing and mechanism issues here that they have to figure out. So with that slowing, then we come back and think about what our Fed is doing, who's been very responsible about watching that international scene. And so perhaps those people who are saying not until 2018 are taking it a little bit to the extreme. But I do think what they're trying to say is that our Fed is going to be concerned and continue to be cautious with regards to what's going on internationally before they do something here.
All right. One thing they are saying collectively is the 10-year yield here in the U.S. is at 1.47% this morning and change. Susan Schmidt at Westwood Group in Dallas, thank you for this briefing.
Thank you.
There's news just now that GE Capital is no longer too big to fail. The Financial Stability Oversight Council monitors big financial firms and applies stricter regulation if the risk is higher of a future government bailout. But GE Capital has sold off big swaths of itself since the last financial crisis and is no longer seen as a threat to the system. Heads of state from the U.S., Mexico, and Canada are meeting for the North American Leaders Summit today. They're expected to announce ambitious sustainable energy commitments and to make the case for free trade. That last part has special significance right now. Here's Marketplace's Jed Kim.
It's commonly referred to, somewhat playfully, as
the Three Amigos
Summit. Perhaps less playful lately.
From the standpoint of Mexico and Canada, the U.S. has neglected both of its partners during much of the Obama term.
Gary Huffbauer is with the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He says both countries have bones to pick. The Keystone Pipeline, long wait times at border crossings. The three will likely downplay concerns about Brexit. Huffbauer says moving their own trade forward depends on Obama.
Either he takes the initiative or it'll be a great photo op and wonderful hugs and so forth, but without any serious new cooperation.
And says Chris Wilson of the Woodrow Wilson Center,
whatever commitments they make together may or may not be able to be implemented based on the results of elections here in the United States in November.
Existing trade agreements could be at risk. One presidential candidate has trumpeted his disdain for NAFTA. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
This week, we're also exploring the results from our Marketplace Edison Research poll. Among the striking details, the number of us who think the system is rigged. There's also increased financial uncertainty compared to the last time we checked. Marketplace.org has more of the data and our reporting on it. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.